Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Cody Hinkle, Emily Wilson, I Like Big Books, Elizabeth Keir, Arthur Tucker, Dana Plain, Terry Bills, Nathan Hughes, Graina Maroney, Caitlin Catamillo. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards. Hello and welcome to episode 109 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today, I have
Ben Meredith, Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Chris Optrick, Amsterdam.
Hamidsala Harun Altaham,
Sasha Rackett,
and Azu.
And how awkward can it get? Really awkward!
Quite awkward.
Like, I mean, really?
It can get more awkward.
It can get more awkward.
Yeah.
Do you not remember the lifespan conversation?
Oh, that was.
So you're about to die, are you, Chris? That's interesting.
Yeah, it turns out great.
How exotic.
Wow.
So what do you do? Die early.
Wonderful.
So strange.
He's like, yeah, we're poor, but we're happy.
So
there you go, Alex.
I have the party split in a really awkward way, so we'll see how this plays out. I've got Azu and Hamid dropped in the middle of, I don't know even how to describe that situation.
Two competing political demonstrations.
Yes, yeah. Let's go with that. We have Grizzop and Sasha, still up top of the mountain, just
chilling, really.
Chilling, a little bit of villain.
It's not that awkward, no.
So
it is for Grizzop.
Okay.
I'm just going to jump back to you two, specifically Grizzop and Sasha.
Yeah.
I realise that there is nothing to do. Tough. That's sort of the point. It has rolled past midday.
Do you play cards, Grizzop?
Yeah.
All right. That's
what game?
Just things up. We don't have anything to bet, do we?
I've got arrows. You got knives.
You are not taking my
Well, not if you win.
You're on.
Okay, I'm going to jump back to Azu.
That's
actually,
not
I'm
a fair
jump back
trade
to
because you have infinite arrows and she only has 12 knives.
No,
now.
I don't.
He doesn't have infinite.
I have narratively infinite, but yeah. As soon as Alex says, maybe because I lost them all in a game of cards, I run out.
Yes! Look at him knowing how the system works. Azu.
Yeah.
You are mid-conversation with the oldest orc you've ever heard of.
Yes.
Who Yeah. I just remembered. Nice to meet you, don't lie. So we'll pick up there, yeah.
I'm not lying.
You've come a long way. Why?
Actually, for reasons unrelated to this, but this seems extremely important. And I think I could help.
What do you propose?
I think...
Power coughing.
I think that if you were to speak to the goblin leader and go... Are you well, Grandfather?
Something just caught in my throat. Say again.
If you were to meet with the goblin...
There it goes again. Okay, yep.
You could both go to the meritocrats and make your complaint together, because the issue is not the presence of either group, it's that there isn't enough work.
Or they could just back off and let us take stuff back that was ours in the first place.
But it's not... It's the employers that have made the choice. So we should be blaming them.
And they're all problems.
I agree, employers are all problems.
Yeah. Give me a diplomacy check.
No war, but class war!
Yeah. Also the gods, between the gods, and dragon war.
Natural 20.
Oh!
Comes when it matters.
Just give her this.
Comes when it matters. We'll use it as an opportunity. If they show themselves up, more people will be able to be on our cause, won't they? You... When? Where? How?
Well, now. Let me take you there.
Fine. Kind of starts really, really slowly walking his way through, and all of the, like, boisterous orcs and stuff, a couple of them, like, don't notice that he's walking forward, and none of the others are like, clap him around the head and pull him out of the way, because everyone's being very kind of respectful.
Yes, I am also being so respectful.
He makes his way to the front, and then the goblins all kind of, and their leader hops down, kind of quite nimbly, actually. Not, might be old for a goblin, but seems to be handling the movement side of things a lot better. Walks to the front, chucks the megaphone far behind, and stands, kind of, you know, power stancing, legs far apart, hips on shoulders.
But so tiny!
Hips on shoulders, did
hips
you
on shoulders, hips on shoulders, hips on shoulders, painful. Elbows
knees on
buttocks.
Knees on toes. And hips on shoulders, knees on toes, knees on toes.
You heard. It's a terrible, terrible aging problem in goblins. The entire torso just...
That's how goblins go.
They just implode.
They just end up just legs and arms. Yeah. That's all they are, legs
compressed.
And arms. Well, you say the height difference, but it's not that much because the orc's so small for an orc that actually they're kind of, from a big distance, they're not that dissimilar.
And they looked from goblin to orc. From orc to goblin. And they could not tell.
And then they yelled, get him!
Yep.
So, so they're there, and they're about 10 foot apart, and they both kind of power stance. Admittedly, the goblin's having an easier time of it because the orc sort of imploded in on himself with age, but they just kind of stare at one another. All of the goblins go quiet, all of the orcs go quiet. And then just nothing happens. It just turns into a staring contest as the sun peaks up over the top of the clock tower.
Christ, how long does it take? It's a 4-hour staring contest. What we haven't said about these two species is that they very rarely blink.
Right. Azu, again, is crouching. And she's...
You get sore knees with all this diplomacy.
Oh, God. The thing they never tell you about politics is your knees, they just... All the meaning to the bankers and the media. Anyway, so she says, I think that your grievances could be directed against the main bosses rather than at each other. And if you will agree to go together to the offices, more could be achieved.
They both then sort of turn. It's hard to tell who turns first. It looks like one of them, but then the other one kind of wants to see to turn first, and they have this sort of thing where they start heading to the meritocratic offices, kind of shoulder to shoulder, and then like occasionally you'll just like like nudge one another, and they're clearly, whilst it's a bit of a power struggle to see who's first,
but because they're old it's very slow.
And they begin the incredibly arduous for the orc. The goblin's having a better time of it, but seems to want to get more elbow nudges in, so it all balances out. And they begin making their way towards the meritocratic offices. The goblins start sort of milling about, and so do the orcs. They're not mixing, but it has a sort of like school dance when everyone doesn't really know how to pair up kind of vibe, where there's this big unnecessary empty space and everyone's sort of just milling around at a loss.
Oh my gosh. I'm just imagining just like the most unlikely romances.
Yeah. Oh, there's like 20 or 30 eyes have met across the square. Like, you
there
know
are
that
be so many medium-sized children.
Do both groups have bands with them?
Yes.
Dance off.
Hamid starts encouraging the goblins to start playing some music.
So the goblins seem to have brought mostly brass with them.
Yep.
A lot of trumpets and things like that.
The orcs brought mostly percussion, Alex.
Funnily enough.
Oh.
Funnily enough.
Hamid, as the independent, is going to try and get both bands to play, and he's going to start dancing.
Okay, give me a diplomacy check.
He's going to take off his jacket, he's going to roll up his shirt sleeves, and bust a move.
You guys should try capitalism. No? All right, dance off.
Those Hamid's two loves.
31.
I'll return
on the diplomacy check.
I'll return to this. Sasha and Grizzop.
Well, Sasha cheats a lot.
I was thinking this is a bad decision.
So, like, she is winning, I assume.
Well, here's the thing. Normally in this kind of thing, like inter-party gambling, like a lot of times you'll just do a simple opposed role thing to like characterise how people are playing. Mm. It's a bit difficult for you two because I'm not sure how to balance it. For Sasha, obviously like sleight of hand is the sensible choice. That's how you cheat at cards. For Grizzup, I'm not sure what skill you'd want to rely on to play it off against.
Sense motive or perception?
Bluff.
Whatever you prefer.
Bluff.
It, again, like we haven't even picked a card game, so it's whatever, Grizzup, whatever you
I'm
want
I'm choosing
to,
bluff because that's
magic.
I think that's how he plays.
In which case then, bluff versus sleight of hand.
17.
Oh, 19 plus 14. So that's...
I had to give you a chance.
That's fine.
I had to give you a chance.
Grizzop's mainly playing for fun.
Now, can you give me a sense motive, Grizzop? Completely unrelated to whether you win or not.
No, not really. My sense motive, 12.
The thing is, Sasha wouldn't look sneaky because to her, the way you play cards is that you... cheat like that. How? What is the other way that you like? That is how you win. That's
Sasha
part
is
of the rules.
Obliterating you at cards.
Mm-hmm. I'm just happily handing over arrows. I'm having a nice time.
Something is happening. Anything is happening. Sasha, yeah, you're just
it's almost not fun anymore.
It's not fun because the whole point.
Playing? Why would he play those cards?
The whole point.
What does he have up his sleeves?
Yeah.
Maybe something much bigger is coming
I'm
later.
I'm putting down hands and cackling to myself.
Yeah. This is probably actually disturbing her much more than that. Like the conversion attempt was just like, it's just what Grizzop does, but I don't want to talk about it right now. This is unsettling.
What did he do to the arrows?
Why would you play? Like, how could you...
Three twos. Yes.
Do goblins have a diff... No, don't worry.
Okay, I'm going to jump back.
She checks the cards.
So,
it's three twos.
Azu, are you heading to the meritocratic offices or are you sticking with the big crowd?
I'm going to go in with them.
Okay.
So that the elbow nudging does not turn into a little scrap in front of the doors.
Okay, I'm going to follow Azu. Azu, you make it to the meritocratic offices and they reach the first step and then it does sort of deteriorate a bit into...
I'm going to very gently just separate them a little bit and I'll be like, remember, you are going to be stronger together against a common...
The really elderly orc looks at you as, I don't like you.
Whatever you feel, grandfather.
They both start going up the stairs, grumbling next to one another.
Oh, my training and respecting my elders. Common enemy.
The common enemy is you.
I say, it just grumpy old men transcend any everything, other divisions. Yeah.
So they head up and they head to the main doors. The goblin reaches out to knock and then kind of almost a little bit patronising goes, please, to the elderly orc who grabs his stick, double wields it over his head and doesn't sort of tap so much as bang, bang, sort of rattling on it. This tiny little clerk, barely more than a teen, opens the door. Hello. What's happening?
Hello. We wish to speak to whoever is the most senior manager.
Do you have an... Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. Just kind of gestures for you to come in.
Fantastic.
I'm going to stick with Azu for reasons that will become apparent. Azu, eventually the two elders and yourself are shown into what is, by meritocratic standards, the equivalent of a mayor. They're not a military leader.
Not a nightmare.
Just a complete mayor.
Just absolute mayor.
Mayor, right? I think is the word you mean.
A mayoral person?
Figure.
Figure, thank you. Mm. So yeah, you're shown into the mayor's office and it is...
Mayor.
I'll talk how I want.
It can be both. It's a complicated language thing.
They're behind a desk. She is like middle-aged. She seems quite dour, quite severe.
Human.
And has rather a lot of paperwork and a large number of aides who are all sort of talking to her as she's signing stuff and talking to one over one shoulder and then signing some more stuff, talking to one over the other. The goblin goes, Old orc goes, gets his stick, and just smashes the wall beside him as hard as he can. Like a picture falls and shatters.
Fantastic.
All of the aides.
Just what I want.
The older woman behind the desk. Can I help either of you? Oh, all three of you, it would seem.
Yes.
She takes a moment. Let's find out whether she's helpful or misreading. Okay.
Oh, no. That doesn't look like a good face.
I'm afraid I don't actually know what this is regarding. We're actually incredibly busy right now. Unless this is to do with the water shortage, I'm not really interested.
It is to do with the water... Well, there is a potential riot outside. And you should pay attention to
these. You see her shoulders sag.
Yeah. You should listen to these two eminent members of the community about how to solve the problem of there not being enough work to go around.
She waves off the aides head off, she gestures for everyone to come in. Now, I'm not going to RP incredibly dense and important discussions.
Completely within yourself.
Amongst myself. That's not okay, I agree. I'm a third party who has mixed feelings about this. Back to the first. No, let's not do that. What I am going to do is get you to give me a diplomacy roll to see how helpful you are to the proceedings.
Oh, no. I don't think I have anything diplomacy, do I?
You have charisma. Your charisma's good.
Ooh. That's still only an 11.
An 11?
Yeah.
Well, look, you don't actively hinder. I think it starts quite well. I think it starts with, we should all talk, and everyone's like, fine. You're like, okay, and now why don't you talk? And now why don't you talk? And things progress beyond the sort of initial into, like, actual specifics, and you're like, that's a good thing. Now why don't we talk to you? And like, we're trying to negotiate specifics. And you're like, now why don't we all stop and have a break? Like, you're kind of at real basics.
Should have got Howard in the room.
You,
yeah, well.
You started well and then you got a bit out of your depth as things went beyond, you know, triage diplomacy into, like, specific negotiations.
Yeah.
The day wears on, though, to the point where it passes midday feet. Like, these talks are taking a while.
Yeah, will do.
We need to get back up the mountain and help
out. I am going to jump to Hamid. And by jump, I mean smash cut to Hamid, who has somehow managed to arrange himself in a situation that he's conducting a combined orchestra where you've got the orcs on...
Orchestra!
You've got the orcs on one side and you've got the goblins on the other. They're playing at one another.
No. They're mixing.
Let me finish.
Okay.
They're playing at one another, but it has entirely changed the character of what's going on, where they're playing a tune together, but they're both sort of trying to drown one another out. But it is turning into a more sportsmanlike,
carnival,
yeah,
rather than right.
It's yeah, it's more carnivalesque. So you've ended up with, come on, hit those hammers harder. They're all sweating, and then the goblins are similarly like.
I want to get them mixing together, and I want to start a massive dance party. How do I make this happen, GM?
So you have managed to get them as far as.
I've told you, Hamid is practically.
There's some dancing.
You want to raise the stakes even higher. I'm going to need another strong diplomacy check. The fact that you've got them doing what's effectively a band off is nothing short of astonishing.
Hamid is leading the dancing, and Hamid knows how to dance.
Fair.
If you want to see an example, then contact me on Twitter and I'll send you a GIF of me doing it. That's what Hamid's doing.
Okay. Just give me the one.
That's another 31.
We will jump to Sasha and Grizzop.
Well, I'm out of arrows.
And you're hitting maybe mid-afternoon by this point.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah, I hope they're all right.
Do you think we should...
Now you've got to teach me how to shoot your bow. Oh, wait, bet your bow.
You hear someone teleport in.
Arrows,
hello.
Arrows.
Hands over an arrow.
Just
you
one.
Hello? Owe me an arrow.
Who's that?
Grizzop?
Who are you?
I go to find the source of the voice.
Sure, they're literally just around the corner. It's Wild.
Oh.
Currently on his own looking around.
Hello.
Hi. Where's Sasha?
Sasha emerges behind him.
What? Wait, behind Grizzop or behind Wild? They're both vile, both valid choices.
Behind Wild.
Right there.
Hello.
Hello, right. We don't have much time. You need to show me what's inside these warehouses.
All right, just come along. Just takes him to one of the upper story entrances and removes the trap, which we know which trap it is.
Yep.
And picks the lock so fast that he wasn't even sure it was locked to begin with.
Of course.
Opens the door.
Wild pokes his head in. Okay, good. Good.
Good?
I assume you...
Thought it was pretty bad myself.
Seen all the bodies and the thing.
We need to leave. We need to leave right now. I've arranged for this area to be removed as a problem.
Well, in what exact way?
This place is going to be glass in about a couple of hours.
Oh, all right. That sounds about right, yeah. I mean, they're beginning to get quite hungry, so that's probably a good...
What's getting hungry?
These things.
He pokes his head back.
The monsters.
Ho! Okay.
I mean, glass them too.
Yeah.
Let's see if he knows what they are. He does not. What are they?
Whatever they are, they have auras of pure evil, so they're a problem and they need to be removed, potentially by glassing. So this sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to leave. We need to leave now.
Yeah, well, you know, whoever is glassing the area, be good to make sure that, you know, they don't accidentally glass the roof, and then the roof smashes, and then the things get out, and then those get away before the glassing.
Wouldn't worry.
All right.
I can't teleport us out. I got someone to teleport me in. It's not a thing I can do.
Yeah, I mean, what's the radius of the glassing?
Because we
need to start walking now.
Why didn't
a carriage
you teleport
is on its way up.
With a horse. And we can ride it down.
Good point. Teleport with a horse.
Yeah.
Come on. He just starts walking out the front entrance.
I'm just saying, Sasha's got a good point. Teleport with a horse while we're walking.
And we're walking behind him. He could even do it with... Couldn't you do it maybe with, like...
Get a carriage, right?
Yeah, get a carriage.
I'm going to jump to...
Or teleport with someone that has a magical beast, like the way Azu does.
Exactly.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
I am going to jump to Azu.
Yeah.
So the negotiations have ground to a bit of a halt.
Okay.
They haven't collapsed.
Good.
What effectively is coming down on the situation is it's still just starting to revolve around this water shortage.
Mm.
The goblins are claiming that whilst they have water, it's just because they're higher up the mountain and they aren't taking more than their fair share. That they're taking the absolute minimum, as the meritocrats asked. The orcs are convinced the goblins are taking all of the water. And the meritocrats, it seems to be that they're under the impression that one of those two is taking far too much water, which is the reason that the others are suffering. And it's hit a bit of a ground halt, because all three of them are adamantly insisting that it's the others. Mm. And it's getting a little bit heated. It's not necessarily like fully accusatory yet, but that's sort of grinding it to a halt, is unless this is dealt with, they can't really go further, and they've reached a bit of an impasse.
Okay.
As soon as like this issue sorted, you get the impression that things could just fall into place and an arrangement could be made, until it's figured out, because this water shortage isn't like, oh, you know, it's dry. The river's gone.
Mm.
And all the other rivers are gone. So that's the situation as it stands. What do you do? They haven't reached blows so much as the conversation sort of died a bit. None of them wants to leave because the stakes are too high, but no one really has anything constructive left to add.
Then I interject again, and I say, isn't there a spell for create water?
Marriage crap pipes up. We're already using it as much as we can. The population here is quite large. It's not like every single cleric is... They're helping out where they can, but it's not enough.
Then you need to get clerics from outside of the city to...
We've already tried. They're on their way, but they're not here yet.
Then in that case, we need to find out where the water is actually going, because clearly it is none of the factions in this room. There is a fourth party.
They all kind of look at one another. Give me a diplomacy check. Normally I get you to do them beforehand, but it's a little bit... No, for this one it's different. Like, I'm doing it intentionally.
Uh-oh. Six.
Six. Oh.
Maybe you took the water.
Where did you come from?
At which point...
You're so hydrated.
At which point the goblin stands and goes, and when you find some evidence of that, we will be happy to consider it. But until then, I don't think there's anything more we can discuss. Starts heading off. We wish none of you ill, but we will not give up what we have fought so hard to get hold of at this time. Heads out. The orc stands. And then just kind of slowly totters out.
I really hope our editor cuts out all the sounds of you coughing so no one understands.
And then the dour woman behind the desk kind of...
The mayor.
The mayor sits and kind of sags a bit. I just really hope they can just keep the peace a little longer. And I'm going to take a break there.
Okay.
And be back in a couple of minutes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hello, everyone. Mike here from Rusty Quill, or as some of you may know me, the voice of Tim from the Magnus Archives. I'm just taking a moment to invite you to join me and Rusty Quill on another 12-hour holiday gaming livestream in aid of Mind, the mental health charity. We'll be streaming video games and board games live via twitch.tv, and this year we'll be doing it in front of a live studio audience. That's right, for one day only you can come and join us in person for the chaos. We're recording at the Theatre Deli's old library space in London on December 8th, 2018, between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. GMT, and tickets are available right now. So if you want to come and meet the Rusty Quill team and see all the exclusive off-camera goodness, be sure to visit rustyquill.ticketbud.com/RQGG18 and grab yourself a ticket. All proceeds go to charity, but don't hang around because there is limited availability. And for everyone who isn't able to make it in person, don't fret. You can still join us digitally. Just jump in online at www.twitch.tv/rusty_quill on December 8th, 2018, between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. GMT, and we'll be there playing games and encouraging you to donate money to this worthy cause. That's all for now. For more information, visit rustyquill.com or get the latest updates via our Twitter, @TheRustyQuill, or on Facebook, at facebook.com/TheRustyQuill.
And welcome back. We will jump to Hamid. Pandemonium. utter pandemonium. Of the best kind. However, it is probably starting to do as much damage as a riot would.
But everyone's having fun.
The music is pumping. Everybody's jumping. And the market is being gradually destroyed as everyone's like jumping on top of stalls. Woo, yeah! And it's all just getting a bit fulsome. In fact, you've been too successful. You've been too successful at arranging this spontaneous hootenanny.
The orcish moonshine is flowing.
I think you should say that. There was an awkward moment where the orcs tried to share their moonshine with the goblins, and two of them were unconscious after like a whiff.
After
and
gobbling up.
Everything got a little. There was a moment where everything got a little bit tense, and then you effectively jumped in and just went, what are they like? And everything kind of settled down again. And by settled down, I meant got even bigger and rowdier. But you have reached the point where you're seeing near the edges of it really, really lost-looking guards. Mostly humans, a couple of halflings, but we're talking like, you know, 20, 25 spread out amongst this crowd of maybe 1,000?
1,200.
Maybe 1,200, but they're all like, you get the impression they feel like they should be stopping the destruction of the market and have no way of doing so without making it even worse. So they're just kind of...
I'm picking up my dart now.
Milling.
I'm going to make another diplomacy roll.
Oh, no.
You're going to get the guards to party.
The guards are going to party too if I have anything to say about it.
You need to roll really well.
Ah, I lost the die. I'll roll a different one.
It's not a critical fail.
16.
It's because you rolled your good dice and then lost it. Yeah. So, yeah, they're all like...
16, that's me rolling a 2. My diplomacy bonus is plus 14.
So one of them, who's clearly a cadet's like, yeah! And immediately starts, like, diving in and partying, and you see all of the rest just look at you with a solid mix of both fear and sort of disapproval. It's not so much. Not so much on that one.
Damn.
Yes.
What are you doing? Currently in the mayoral office.
I say to the meritocratic lady, I think that you may have a lot of problems on your hands. If I were you, I would set some officers to investigate the water shortage instead of just relying on other people to say so. And I think...
We already have.
Then you have to look harder, because otherwise there will be bloodshed in these streets.
Who even are you? Give me a diplomacy roll first. Who even are you to be telling me how to run this city?
I play a character, obviously.
I, madam, am a protagonist! And you would do well to listen.
Got character levels, darn it!
I got 21.
So, you can be very firm and not misstep here. As long as you don't go ridiculous with it, you can lay down some Aphrodite lore and it'll work.
Okay. Then I'm going to say,
Give you again. Who even are you to tell me how to run this city?
I am a paladin of Aphrodite on my way to becoming a high priestess of Aphrodite. And I can tell a dangerous situation when I see it. And I will give you what help I can while I'm in the area, which may not be for long. So I am trying to help you with this. And I think that the main issue that you may have is with the main employer. If they can be coerced or persuaded to give out equal work contracts to both groups.
Look, the only place that we've got, that we haven't even been able to look at is Cranks, and we can't because they've basically got an injunction from higher up than me. If you can find me proof that that's where the water's going,
Cranks is the one we've just,
that would deal with everything.
But
you saw a burst water pipe.
And yeah, the other thing is that you said earlier that Cranks was the main employer. Yeah, the orcs say that it was the main employer. But
or,
no
or
one
it
was
used
working
to be.
There.
Used to be, yes.
Yeah. Now it, and they laid everyone off.
Yes.
Okay. I hold up my hand and I'm like, I will try and find that for you, if I can.
Then you better hurry, because if that sounds like things are getting really bad out there.
Give it a couple of hours and that pump's going to be glassed.
Yeah. Before I go, I'm going to say there was 1,000 orcs and 200 goblins. You would have had a masker on your hands if you just stepped outside.
Sounds like there is a masker going on.
Woo!
Let me go and check on that.
I'm going to jump cut to Azu. You turn up to the market. Did I say market? I meant what's left of the pavement, because it's been raised to that level and is still going. People have started prying up cobbles and juggling them. I'd say about a quarter of the people are almost catatonic. The remainder are staggering around trying to dance, and Hammond's kind of in the middle of it.
You have never seen him look so dishevelled. His hair and his outfit are in ruins, and he is still dancing his blood out.
The band is still playing, but like half of, a couple of them have collapsed. One of them is like playing a broken trumpet now. One of the drums broke, they're now just bashing a barrel that they found, but it's still going on. This just constant. You are able to easily see Azu approaching. Big pink glow makes narrative easy.
Azu! Oh my god, I'm having so much fun. Come and dance with us, come and dance with us, Azu!
No. We should go back at the mountain.
I'm going to jump back to...
Oh yeah, we need to help our friends!
I'm going to jump back to Grizzop.
I'm just sweating.
I'm going to jump back to Grizzop and Sasha. Wild is still walking down. The carriage hasn't arrived yet.
See, if you just teleport a carriage, aren't
we? I know if I could teleport a carriage, I should have teleported a carriage. I couldn't do it. Time was of the essence.
Well, if it's time is of the essence, it'd be better if we had a fast transportation. Yeah. It would be same time.
Well, we argue about this in the carriage.
Oh, well, we would, but the carriage isn't here, so we can't
even
argue
about it.
It
has just turned up, I thought you said.
Carriage hasn't turned up yet. He's still walking. He's hot. You see him occasionally prestidigitate himself, and then the sweat patches return really quickly.
Mm. Also, what's the radius on this glassing? Because I'm not leaving until I see that place flat.
Yeah. Or at least a slope, because it is built on a mountain.
Well, yeah.
Wild stops.
About here, then?
He turns around. And he looks at both of you.
I mean, there's also a really good reason to watch in case like, that person teleports back while you're not there anymore.
Yeah.
Hello!
At which point the carriage turns up behind him, just sort of cresting over the nearest rise.
Oh, great! Look! Oh, yeah, perfect!
Get in.
You'll feel much better out of the heat, Wild.
Get in the carriage now.
Okay. You get in the carriage too, and we're going to have a little chat.
He goes over, opens the door, climbs into the carriage.
Yep, follow him in. I'm checking it for murderers and traps. Yeah.
I mean, Wild's in there. Does he count?
logic traps. Yes.
Were you just about to say you were having a very hard day?
She kind of sits there quietly.
were you just about to lecture us on the meaning of hard work and hard graft and how difficult things are? Were you just about to do that? Because you forgot to bring a carriage.
Are you done?
Are you? Because I've had it right up to here with you and your terrible attitude.
Then leave, because things have gotten way more important than a gestures to, like, you and him. Whatever this has become, it's far more important than that now.
Oh. Get you.
Well,
he taps up on the carriage and it starts to roll down.
I haven't had a rest in a while, so I'll just be...
Yeah, none of us slept
here.
Last night. Yeah.
Nope.
Well, she curls up in a corner, falls asleep.
So, what's the situation then?
How much has Hamid told you about what's going on?
We were there when he found it, so all of it? You're the one being informed, not us.
Great. Whatever's happened in England and France is spreading, okay? And now, the only support that I've had up to this point is gone. It is you, me, and the rest of your group, and they're pretty much the only people I think I can trust at this stage.
I mean, you're getting some in glass, so it sounds like you've got a few resources you can call on, unless you're expecting us to do that too.
So, the only way that we can progress is very carefully and very quickly, because whatever's happening is accelerating.
All right.
Yes?
So what do we need to do?
We need to check, as you so eloquently put it, that the entire place is gone. We need to make sure of it, we need to see it, and then once that's done, I think we need to step up whatever's doing. I mean, we don't really know what's happening yet, still.
What we do know is the meritocracy is probably compromised by the cult of Hades, isn't it?
Yes.
So? It's obvious.
Is it?
We go rogue! Come on! Well, I don't go rogue, I'm still with the cult of Artemis, it's great.
This sounded heated enough, but Sasha's like, I was trying to have a nap. It has been so long since we had any rest. Do you have a quick answer about what we're going to do?
No.
Or then...
Go rogue! Yes. Go rogue! Just go rogue! Can't trust a meritocrat, so we just do it on our own.
Sasha sort of gestures.
We've got Einstein.
Herself. And
like, what? I'm going to jump to Hamid and Azu. So. sorry. Just for the listeners, so that everyone knows what happened there. Ben's like, yeah. Fan goes flying off into the distance.
It's okay, it's back.
So, Azu. Hamid is... In fact, give me a con save.
What?
Sorry, fort save. That's fifth ed poking its head into our game again.
Did you manage to cock a d20?
Yeah, pretty much. 21!
Okay, factoring in the penalties for Orcish Moonshine.
Yeah.
Hamid's drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Hamid's not catatonic, but he may not want to be in charge of whatever's happening right now. And the day's wearing on now. You've hit mid-afternoon and you said you would be back
earlier. I told you to defuse the situation, Azu. I'm not fighting anymore.
So I see. Well done.
Crunch! As a shot front kind of collapses in. Oh, there are some fires, but it's okay, because what they've done is they've taken all of the bits of the broken market, put them in barrels and are lighting them. Because this party's just getting started!
Super friendly.
Yeah.
We should go back to the mountain. I can't. We can't solve this by ourselves. Let's just go. Let's go.
Okay.
Hamid's sort of still dancing, but only with half of his body.
I take your. I like take not.
Wait. Sorry. Quick. Left. Right. Or top. Bottom.
Left.
Front. Back.
It's a party in the back. All right. I sort of take your hand and sort of tug you.
Oh, I'm very easily led at this point.
Oh, fantastic.
Presumably you're trying to find a carriage, though, as opposed to going on foot.
Camel.
Oh, camel. What is wrong with me today?
Feet.
Yeah, that'll be it.
To be fair, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so you set off and back up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hamid falls asleep on the back of the camel, kind of cuddle up against your back.
Yeah.
So cute. Puppy.
Anything small is now a puppy.
Yeah.
Grizzop and Azu, please give me a perception check.
Ooh. We're both asleep.
Oh, yeah. 22.
20.
Okay. Towards the lower parts of the mountain, you both see a carriage approaching. Well, I say you both. One of you sees a carriage approaching, the other sees a camel that clearly has Azu on it.
Yeah. I'll lean out the window.
Azu!
Grizzop!
Hey, stop the carriage!
Bang, bang.
Okay. I carry Hammett into the carriage.
What happened to him? Has he been poisoned?
Only with alcohol.
What happened?
You've also never seen Hammett looking so dishevelled.
He looks such a mess.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain that he has some kind of thing around his forehead tied.
Oh, yeah.
We were waiting for ages.
There was almost a riot, but then it turned into a party.
That's what multiple 30s will do for
right?
you.
Okay.
He turned his cravat into a bandana.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking.
There is a... It's been a very long day.
Right. Oh, we got Wilded here. I think we're going to go rogue.
Oh.
Oh, we were having a conversation about Einstein.
Yes, we were.
him.
Yes.
So in terms of timings, I am just going to fudge it slightly, which is that, yeah, you raised that just as Azu turned up.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, yeah, basically, Einstein teleports us.
Einstein, the criminal.
So?
Einstein, the necromantic collaborator.
Riddle me this, Wild. How did we get to Damascus so fast? And how did we get from Prague to Ukaro so fast?
You didn't.
We did. Oh, you know, bearing in mind as well, as the lead investigator on that little mission, right, Einstein isn't collaborating with anyone. He can hardly collaborate with himself.
Accurate.
I really like that. If I gave out inspiration, you'd get over there.
Right? So he's just a nice, strange man who teleports us around. Like Curie and the rest of them. Well, whatever. But
tell me you haven't been working with Curie as
no.
well.
No! It's just Einstein. He seems to be acting on his own. He went to the beach.
Because something occurs to me.
What? Oh, is it the fact that the cult of Hades are probably behind what Kafka was doing? Because the whole necromantic ritual and world domination thing seems to sync up quite well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, spooky Roman book, probably a cult of Hades book, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Sasha,
while
who you woke up with your talking. So
Hammett is snoring.
And the computer that was sort of necromantic.
Oh, yeah. The cult told Barrett to get people for the computer.
Yeah.
So it's all connected.
Dead bodies, infrastructure.
So
civilization as we know it was relying on brains.
Have any of you run into a separatist who actually has been involved in this so far?
Well, the university, they said that they were something, didn't they?
And there was that lady on the ship that didn't like you. She was cool.
But has any of them actually been directly involved with the simulacrum at all?
Beast
well,
me.
Maybe not.
Everyone give me a perception check, please.
Okay.
No.
Correct. Everyone who's conscious, give me a perception check.
22.
Ooh, 24.
Only 20.
Azu.
Yeah.
You spot what appears at first to just be a bird flying over Damascus.
Or a plane.
It's bigger than a
Superman
bird,
Superman saves the day.
End of campaign. It's okay, citizens.
It's a crossover.
Hooray.
It's not Superman.
It's a really big, massive bird.
Gravine of Dunland.
Oh, my God. It's huge. And it's... You notice then that you can sort of gauge... Well, it can't be a bird because of where the shadow... Oh, it's huge. Something enormous is starting to head over Damascus. And just by the angles, you're the one who's able to see it. Everyone else is facing the other way.
Oh, God.
Massive.
What? Look out the window. There's a thing.
Hammett, it's your granddad. Hammett.
It's huge. Hammett. It is shining.
Look, is grandpappy.
The sun is glinting off its metallic hide.
Hammett.
Wait, is that Apophis or is that another one?
It's definitely a dragon.
Wings beat. It finally starts passing over directly over Damascus. Its shadow is stretching out a decent chunk of the city. Oh, the wings beat again. Everyone give me a reflex save.
Oh, dear.
I
Hamid
fail.
Fails.
27.
paladins.
Yeah. I know, right?
21.
Oh!
I only got 13.
What? Is that plus your modifiers?
Well, my modifier is 10, right?
Yeah. So you rolled a 3.
Yeah, I rolled a 3.
Yeah, for the record, Sasha's modifier is higher than...
Yeah, yeah. So...
And we all have got pretty decent reflex saves.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no.
So it's suddenly...
As his reflex save is not great.
It suddenly seems to fly incredibly quickly towards you, and you realise that's just the scales involved. What you thought was something that was, you know, smaller is just massive, far, and whoomp, suddenly it's on top of you. Another wing beat knocks Sasha off her feet.
I'm sitting down in a carriage.
It's true.
Fair enough. When the carriage tips over, crunch, the carriage tips, you hear the driver,
the carriage.
We went for the driver.
Hammond is knocked off the camel. Oof. The paladins manage to sort of salvage themselves.
What happened?
Streaks over the land, then disappears
that
up the mountain.
The last time I try and have a nap.
Lean over to Hammy.
Not on a roof.
Point at Drango.
Where's your granddad?
What?
You turn on what? There's a sudden, sharp flash of light at the top of the mountain, which is thankfully obscured by, like, a ridge. And then the creature's already swung round and is starting to come back the way it's come. And then you see the heat haze and the shockwave blasting out from the top of the mountain. And then a mushroom cloud of dust just... over the top. Everyone give me a reflex save. You're getting modifiers for knowing it's coming this time.
Okay.
22.
24.
14.
30.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what it is. Was that a natural 20?
Yeah.
Everyone else is ready for it. Hamid.
Sasha is riding the dragon.
Hamid's what? Wow! Completely blown off his feet, rattles down, the carriage shunts a little bit along, you hear the driver go, not again!
Oh no!
And then you see the creature, whoomph, obviously, Apophis, the colouring's right, the size is right, just to be perfectly explicit.
Sure.
Sweeps out over Damascus and heads off back the way it came.
Right, well, we better go check his handiwork.
And I will end the episode there.
So much stuff is happening.
I know.
Oh.
Stuff and things.
Oh, my word. The conspiracy is coming unraveled. Stuff from episode 2.
Yeah.
It's almost like he had a plan all along.
Yeah. It's as if he had pages and pages and pages of notes.
And a folder with a calculator in it.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with a folder with a calculator in it. Anyway, we'll wrap up there. We'll join you all next...
The Santiago of...
Yes. We are going to end there and we will continue unravelling conspiracies next week. But until then, bye guys.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Alex forgot how to talk.
The party has come into the office. It's gone in.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.